39-4513 is the phone number, hashtag Giants Chat. Anita Marks, David Deal, and you. Let's go to line four. Timothy's calling in from Jackson. Timothy, welcome.
Hi, I got a question for you. Well, the Giants rebound from their loss to the Cowboys with the win over the Atlanta Falcons. The Giants try to get his defense put pressure on Matt Ryan.
They most certainly have to. That's the only way. Like I stated earlier, they're going to do things to move him out of the pocket. But this is an offensive line that has had struggles, and we've seen it throughout the game on Monday Night Football. They weren't a cohesive group. I think it's very important for the Giants' defensive line to create pressure, make Matt Ryan throw unbalanced off of his back foot, because with the weapons that he has on the offensive side of the ball right now and how well and how good Julio Jones looks already week one.
Unbelievable, right?
I mean, it's going to be
huge. Thank you for the phone call, Tim.
Thank you.
Hey, who covers, what's your thought? What are you anticipating? Is it going to be Prince? Is it going to be DRC? Is it going to be a mixture of both? How do you take Julio Jones out of this equation on Sunday?
And it's not only Julio Jones. It's Roddy White. They bring in Devin Hester every once in a while. Levine Toilolo, their tight end, is another.
Hankerson came over from Washington, right?
So they've got a very big group of wide receivers that can make it done, but it all starts with Julio. They're giving him time to make catches in space. They're giving him those little flare screens. He's running the quick slants, and he's breaking tackles and getting 7 yards per clip. It's going to be either, I would put DRC or a combination of both. They've got to do something that most importantly to disrupt the timing and reroute him. That's the biggest thing that you saw, were that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones were clicking in their timing in the passing game. They've got to do something to disrupt that, make him reroute, and most importantly, they've got to do something to give some time to the defensive line to create that pressure.
201-939-4513. This is from Ben, by the way, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. He says, prevent defenses literally never work. I don't see what the point is. You know, a lot of people feel that way, Dave. This Zach feels that prevent D was the right call. Jeremy Davis needs to be in the lineup instead of Parker. Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I think because Parker had those three very crucial drops, I think the door has opened up.
I think it certainly
has. Where I think this offense is going to see what Jeremy can bring to the table, what Dwayne Harris can bring to the table. I do believe that. I think we'll see a more variety, a lot more opportunity at that wide receiving core. Let's go to line three. Abdul in Minnesota is calling in. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Abdul. How are you?
Good. So my major concern after this first week is just it seems like there's a complete lack of creativity on offense. I was hoping even without Cruz we'd see, you know, Beckham more in the slot, have moved around more, that Barine would be out, split wide, more screens. It just seemed like a very vanilla offensive plan, and I was really, really disappointed, especially with how suspect the Dallas defense could be, you know, or supposedly is. And, I was just really surprised that we were doing, you know, the delayed draw again and just, you know, just no screenplays again. It just seemed like they didn't progress from last year, and we were led to believe that this is the second year of this offense that will become more dynamic, that to break out more of the plays and that we didn't do last year, and it seemed like we regressed from last year. So I'm hoping that, you know, it's week one, you know, as you said, you know, during the preseason you don't get a lot of time because of the new collective bargaining agreement. I just hope that this week. That everything is just let go. You know, we have nothing more to lose. But let's just do it. Let's just take some chances downfield. Let's get more creative. Let's run some screens. Let's just mix it up. Let Shane Vereen run wild. Because, you know, since I saw him at Berkeley, Shane Vereen is a dynamic offensive player. And we should use him as much as possible. Just to make us less predictable. So... So what do you guys think about that?
I agree with you. That was actually something I said during our press conference live show. What can you do with Odell Beckham Jr.? line him up and give him opportunities to make plays in open space. I said right away, move him into the slot position.
Yeah.
All those number one receivers love running flies, running big deep posts, because it gives them so much more space to work and where they can use their athleticism. And that is a key thing. If you want to slow down a pass rush, is you have a strong screen game. And that's why Shane Vereen is here. You didn't see any
exactly
of those screens this past week. So that's going to be very important up against an aggressive Atlanta Falcons defense that is coming in.
With Dan Quinn.
With Dan Quinn.
He brings in that Seattle Seahawks mentality type of defense.
They bring in, they play that hybrid 4-3 where they're going to play different flex looks. They're going to play eight men and down in the box like they did with Cam Chancellor to stop him the run. And
thank
on
you
third
for the,
downs,
the call, by the way.
They're going to play a hybrid of 3-4s because they want to do whatever they can to get Bierman, to get Beasley, to get
Beasley looks so good.
Beasley looks
right?
So fast.
Oh, wow.
To Schofield, who they just brought in. They're going to try to do whatever they can to put them in one-on-one matchups that they think that they can win. So that's going to be very important this upcoming week to make sure that they slow them down up front.
Let me ask you, because and this has been a hot topic for us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I know this is only our second show, but this has been a hot topic.
All right.
Heading into the season, and that is, you know, you have defenses and defensive coordinators who've now had an entire summer to look at Odell Beckham film, and teams that are getting ready to take on the Giants are going to come with that kind of Odell Beckham defense. You saw it in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas was able to kind of take him out of the game for
bracket
quite a while.
Their coverage, do different things, especially when other wide receivers aren't making catches and plays.
And so this is something that I truly believe you're going to see week in and week out with defenses, you know, and what they're going to bring to try to eliminate Odell Beckham Jr. from the offensive factor. Where by teams doing that, David, if you were to put on the offensive coordinator cap, how would you counter that? If you're going into a game and you know that Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons are coming in next week and they're going to be like, look, we're going to bracket, we're going to double coverage, we're going to switch it up, maybe just throw some man at, we're going to be physical off the line of scrimmage. How do you counter that?
For Odell Beckham
yes.
Jr., like I said, lining him up in different spots on the field, creating mismatches, but more importantly, creating opportunities for other players, because he demands that much attention and he demands the attention of a full defense. So his first game that he played last season when he came back from his injury, his first game he lined up at five different positions on the field. That only benefits him and only benefits the rest of the core of the offense because of his ability to separate, create space, make defenses focus on him. But like I said, the biggest thing is Larry Donnell has to step up, Preston Parker, Reuben Randall, the running game. There's got to be a balance that when somebody takes one player away, your other players have to step up and make plays.
201-939-4513. We go to Christian in Pennsylvania. Christian, you're up.
It's Chris, not Christian.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris. Anita wrote it.
I'd like to know why we cut James Jones and then just have this Preston Parker. I mean, Preston Parker,
you know what?
Is
you know, it's
dropping
a
ball.
You know what's interesting? I hosted a podcast with Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders yesterday. And this was a question that came up.
Okay.
And he said that he thought that the reason why the Giants cut James Jones and kept Preston Parker,
special teams,
is that James Jones would be the fourth wide receiver, and your fourth wide receiver has to play
yep.
special teams, and James Jones does not.
Yeah.
That was his response to me.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah.
Why not Dwayne Harris? Why not Jeremy Davis? I mean, I throw this all at Jerry Reese. I know he won us rings, but what is he doing?
But
understand
who your three wide receivers are. Odell Beckham Jr.,
yep.
Victor Cruz, and Reuben Randall. So everybody else from four down.
Down the totem pole.
Has to play specials, and James Jones does not. And so this is what Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders communicated to me yesterday. So I'm glad that this question came up because I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
And there was nothing that you can do in regards to Dwayne Harris because you just gave Dwayne Harris all that money to come to New York.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just the draft really embarrassed me back in the years when he was just drafting horrible. I mean, now he drafted good this past year. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know we won rings, but I just think Jerry Reese needs to go. I don't know. I don't like the way he thought on getting rid of James Jones. I mean, look what he did with the Packers.
Well,
he gets
Chris,
all those points, and you know,
I mean,
Preston Parker just drops the ball.
Chris, thank
he
you.
He just drops the ball.
Thank you for the phone call. We just explained to you why James Jones was cut and Preston Parker was kept, at least based on,
yep.
you know, the understanding
said,
that,
yeah.
that wide receivers 4 through 6 have to play specials. 201-939-4513. Let's go to James in Philadelphia. James, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
James.
James, line 4. Big Blue Kickoff
Live. You were me. I was a lineman.
Hey, James.
Can you hear me?
We got you, buddy.
We just got you right now. I'm sorry. Can you repeat
your
question?
You got
me
now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just saying hello to you two, Anita and David Deal. One of my favorite, meanest offensive linemen.
Thank you very much, James.
I wanted to know if you could you ask your daughter for a favor, if she could let you come back and play one more year.
No, I know.
It looked like you're still ready to play the way you look.
Believe
me,
you
can still do it.
My daughter takes Giants losses just like every fan does.
Does she really?
Oh, yeah.
She cried?
It was tough for her. I mean, this is all she knows.
Does she stay up?
No, she made sure when I talked to her before school on Monday morning. She already had the whole lowdown on what happened, and it was tough. It was tough. She's been around the Giants her whole life since she was a kid. So 8 years old, you learn to bleed blue early.
That's right. I wanted to say just one thing in particular on that last drive. Although, you know, the Giants was in their 2 minutes, the Cowboys in their 2 minutes, and they hurry up. And from what it basically seemed to me, all right, they're going downfield, and they're throwing underneath to the back and all. It seemed like their backs were a little too fast for Unger. At that point, although you know you don't get the time, you want the time to run out. But once you get so discombobulated where you're really not keeping up with it, I think it should have been a timeout call maybe so you get your defense situated so they can get their heads back together, get their communication back together, and then, you know, make a concerted effort. Okay, now they didn't win all the way down the field. They down at the 20 by the red zone. Okay, let's call timeout and get ourselves together and get everybody in the right position to make this, you know, these final few seconds, you know, make this push to stop them. I was just wondering if that seemed like it would have been a decent kind of idea, you know, just because you got to have a two-minute defense to stop a two-minute offense. And if you're out of position and you're not communicating well and they're moving a little too fast for you, that might can give you a chance to collect yourself to make, you know, maybe run a little more pressure thing or get yourself situated.
James, thanks for the phone call. I mean, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, David, and that is like the new collective bargaining agreement and the lack of two-a-days and the lack of real practices. Again, I think not just this week, but I think even for the next 2 weeks, you know, you get into that fourth quarter, and I think guys are going to be spent because I just don't believe that it's not just a Giants thing. I think it's a thing. I think it's an NFL thing across the board. I just don't think players are ready for regular season game one. And when it comes to the fourth quarter, if you're not conditioned, if you don't take the time in the off season to really practice hard and really go to another level, to make sure that you have all that gas in the tank, that regular season game one starts, you are ready to go for four quarters, I think it's tough.
It is. I think it most certainly is tough. But in regards to that situation, I could see a timeout benefiting the Giants. I know that you're worrying about stopping the clock and stopping the time. But at that point, Tony Romo was clicking, and he had things rolling fast. And at that point, he was signaling they were making big plays. They were having success. So at some point when they were rolling that much, I wouldn't mind to have seen a timeout. But then once again, you're giving them an opportunity
to regroup,
bring in different receivers, see what the Giants are specifically doing, and it stopped the clock.
Yeah. I mean, because you just you saw the receivers, they had so much cushion.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure that, you know, as a DB, you're just so spent and you're so gassed.
Don't let them get behind me.
But you don't have that physicality off the line of scrimmage, and then you don't have the gas to catch up if they do get behind you, and then you're giving up a touchdown.
A big play, yep.
So just really tough all around. Let's go to line 3. Derek's calling in from Atlanta. Derek, welcome.
Hey, Anita and Champ. How's it going today?
Excellent, Derek. How are you, buddy?
Oh, well, Anita, I got a fantasy question for you, but David, I'd like to ask. But first, I want to say, in for Odell, you know, putting him in motion and maybe stacking him, maybe help with that, them double covered him. And when the wide receivers go out of bounds, the clock stops. At that point, I think you could take a timeout. But I was going to ask you, David, is that from the third preseason game till yesterday, I've seen where we can't cover the backs in the flats. And it looks like we're playing cover two most of the time.
Yep.
And I'm saying if the wherever the running back is on, you know, I know the middle linebacker tries to keep a tab of him, but if he's lined up on the right side or the left side, the strong or weak side linebacker also needs to, you know, check him or, you know, be in that area. But have you noticed that basically there's basically nobody checking the flats on our team right now?
And that was something that definitely hurt in that last drive, was covering backs out of the backfield, and this has been an issue in the preseason. I think Unga played well against the run, but his angles and his coverage skills out of the backfield were difficult because at the same time, you're asking him to cover, but what's he doing right before that? He's communicating all to the defense. So he's trying to get things all wrapped up in his head at the same time. It's going to be important for him to learn coverage, learn angles, and most importantly, just get confident in his abilities out there at the linebacker position. And right now, having him on the injured list is not a good thing, because if John Beeson doesn't go and you have Unga hurt, if he goes down,
would it be
either Herzlick or the other person that's played every position at the linebacker position is JT Thomas. You can move him to have his speed and his experience.
Kennard could also play.
Or
in
Kennard,
middle,
and then you would bring in, I would say, from that, would you bring in Casillas? Would you bring in Herzlick? That's where the adjustment would have to be made. But as a Giant fan, I would be praying right now that either John Beeson or Unger are completely healthy for this game, because if Matt Ryan, if that's what he's coming in with, both middle linebackers out of the game, it's going to be tough sledding for the Giants.
Hey, Anita.
Yeah.
I've got a fantasy question for you.
Okay.
Forsett or Coleman? Kevin Coleman or Forsett?
So you've got Coleman going up against the Giants. You've got Forsett. I'm trying to think. Who are the Bears playing this
Oakland.
Week? Oh, I mean, at the end of the day, though, I mean, Forsett, I want to say he had 144 yards, right? And two touchdowns or something like that in week one?
No, Forsett didn't do that well.
But
he only had 52 yards rushing.
Oh, I'm thinking Forte. I'm
thinking
Matt Forte. Listen, Coleman's really impressed me.
He really has, but the thing that you have to take into consideration when you're doing fantasy is he's not the only running back. They're going to bring in Freeman. They're going to bring in all different backs by committee.
Yeah, but he had 20 touches.
Who do the Ravens play?
The Ravens play Oakland.
Okay, so the Ravens play Oakland. Yeah, I mean, and Justin Forsett's your number one running back. I'd go Forsett. You probably drafted him early as well. Coleman was probably a late round pick for you. The first 3 weeks. Listen, so many people, and thank you for the phone call. So, do you play? You play fantasy?
A little bit. I'm not in a league or anything, but I pay attention and I watch it and stuff. Don't get me wrong. I think it's unbelievable what it's done for the game of football and what it's done to the NFL. But I'm more worried about X's and O's, and I'm worried about one specific player.
But it's just I feel like so many people like knee-jerk reaction regard to week one. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like Adrian Peterson
hit the panic button right now. Yeah.
Calvin Johnson went the – I mean, there were so many like – how about this? There were 18 tight ends that put up double-digit numbers in week one.
It's crazy.
18 tight ends put up double-digit numbers. Meanwhile, there were a ton of wide receivers, like top number one wide receivers, who couldn't
like
even
7 points,
snip
nine
the
points,
end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had Brandon Cooks. I had Brandon Cooks, Calvin Johnson, and I want to say maybe Sammy Watkins on one team, and combined, they gave me 11 points. Combined. Meanwhile, Tyler Eifert's putting up 32, 38.
Yeah.
I mean, just ridiculous. So anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I think for the first 3 weeks, you've got to go with the guys that you drafted, and you drafted in the early rounds because you came in and you liked their value. So I would definitely stick with Justin Forsett. For sure, for sure. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, you're on board.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing today?
Okay.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
And I'm happy to say I'm doing a lot better now than I was at 12 o'clock Monday night.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I was not feeling too well at that particular point in time. But anyways, two of my pet peeves with the Giants for many years have been being able to pound the ball on the ground when you need to successfully, and being and the defense being able to make a stop in crunch time, make a stop when they have to do it. I don't want to rehash the game from Monday night, but Giants' last possession, they should have been able to pound that ball into the end zone on the ground. They should have done that. And in crunch time, the defense couldn't make any kind of a play to stop the Cowboys or to slow them down. So, anyways, those are just a couple of things I wanted to throw out there. And I'm hoping that we can get Victor Cruz back soon because we really need him out there. Big time. I hope we can get him back 100% and he's really ready to go because that'll hugely bolster the offense and that'll be a good thing. And the only other thing I was concerned about, David, maybe you could help me out with this, is, you know, we didn't get much pressure out of the front four, especially up the middle, I didn't think. And maybe you could suggest something to us as to how the Giants may remedy that situation. So that's it. I'll hang up and listen, and thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you for your call. That was actually something that I was talking about earlier. The Atlanta Falcons offensive line, due to the lack of time that they've had playing together, due to the lack of cohesiveness throughout an entire preseason, they've really struggled against defensive lines that have moved, that have stunt, that have done different things to cause penetration, to put them on different levels. So I think it's going to be important for the Giants to do that this week, to be disruptive. And the other thing that I said, defensive ends have got to do a great job of setting the edge and forcing everything to the back into the inside. Because everything that you say when you're running those pitches and those sweeps, you say that as an offense, you have got to create that lane for them where they that tight end or that defensive end is shut down and cannot play outside. That's where the Giants this week, it is going to be crucial for them to do that, to force Coleman, to force all those outside pitches and sweeps to go inside where he doesn't want to run in between the tackles.
Especially Freeman.
Freeman, too.
The last time the Giants played Atlanta, I think Freeman scored on a quick little
quick,
like
yeah,
yeah,
little, yeah
dump,
it was almost
screen.
Like an extension of the run, like yeah. It was a little dump off swing screen.
Again, want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's that simple. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the code New York to claim your free entry. Here's a tweet from Easy. He says, Unga is practicing according to Art Stapleton. Yes.
He's limited.
He's limited in practice today. So, again, just to go down that list, no John Beeson, no Victor Cruz. Not sure with Daniel Fells or Marcus Kuhn. Head coach Tom Coughlin did not say earlier today during his press conference, but he did say that Eric Flowers and Ungo would be limited today. I didn't get to this. I was curious, based on the press conference, and of course you hosted the press conference show that mm-hmm. you can watch on the MSG network every Wednesday afternoon, morning really, right, 11 a.m.?
Yep.
What did you walk away from Tom Coughlin's press conference? Did he say anything that resonated with you?
He didn't have to say anything. It's his attitude and the way that he was during the press conference. This is when Coach Coughlin coaches at his best, is when he's upset, when he's disappointed, and he's got that burning red glare in his face, because I guarantee you this week there is not going to be a stone left unturned in regards to the preparation for the Atlanta Falcons, in regards to every situational aspect that has occurred throughout the NFL, let alone what happened in the Dallas game. And he is going to be all over the place on the football field, and he is going to demand everybody's best starting from the first play of practice today. So I like seeing this Coach Coughlin, because I know what it does to the Giants football team, and I know when he's that ornery, when he's got that attitude, that he's not going to let anything but excellence get by him.
Can we get personal with you for a minute?
Go ahead.
So what like – again, like, this is my sixth year with the Giants.
Okay.
So to me, Tom Coughlin's like a dad. He sees me in the hallway. How are you doing?
Oh, he's a lot different out there than he is the dad walking by in the hallway.
No, I know. How's your family?
Yeah.
Like, happy holiday. You know, he's just, you know, how are you doing? Like, he's just so thoughtful and so kind. But, you know, and I just – I've played for coaches like him where you just – you you never want to like, they're such a father figure to you that
you don't want to disappoint
you
them.
You never want to disappoint them. You mm-hmm. never want to let them down. You never want them to be disappointed in you or think that you can't do something. Is that the kind of like relationship you had with Coach?
No question, because you knew that Coach Coughlin was doing everything in his power to put this team in a position to succeed. You know, he was grinding upstairs. He was demanding everything out of the players just as much as he's demanding out of the coaches to make sure that they're coaching well, they're giving the right information to the players, and that there's no drop-off in their energy level from the time they hit the field from the start of today all the way until the game. So he demands it out of everybody because he does it himself. He is not somebody who goes and says something and does it. He practices what he preaches himself, and that's why when things go wrong and when things are tough, you do. You feel like you disappoint him because you knew he put everything he could into this football game.
I would imagine. I would imagine so. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, of course, David Deal with you every Wednesday afternoon. Let's go to the Bronx. Will is calling in. Will, you're up.
Good afternoon, guys. I just got some, you know, just want to just let Big Blue Nation, you know, I just want to make a comment towards you guys. We could calm down. Everything's going to be okay. I was just looking at the schedule coming up. We got, from now to week eight, we got three more games in the division that we're going to play. And two of those are home games. But what I found out that's more interesting is that out of the 15-game schedule that's left, the Giants, I believe, can afford to lose a third of those games and still be in position to win this division or make playoffs through wild card. And I think that's encouraging. And I don't think that we need to panic. And, you know, it was a heavy and tough loss, but I don't think we need to really panic. If we got that kind of margin, we could lose a third of the remaining games and still be in position to win. What do you think?
I'm a little perplexed by your mathematics.
Okay, we got 15 games left.
Okay.
If we're looking at the division, if we win 10, say if we win 10 games in the division, that can probably get us the division win.
Or at least
the playoff berth.
I think 10 is going to be the competitive number. And I think it'll probably come down to week 17.
And what we always used to preach and what Coach Coughlin always used to preach, win every game at home, split on the road. That's your best opportunity to win the division and put yourself in prime so that you do make the playoffs. Win every game at home, split on the road. But to sit here and say that they could afford to lose one third, I do not agree with you.
No.
In that
no,
aspect.
No. Well, what I'm saying is that from an optimistic standpoint, you know, everybody was like, oh, the season's over because we lost to Dallas when we should have took that one. What I'm saying is that if we're looking at 10 being that magic number, we got 15 games left. You know, that
oh,
tells
yeah,
us
it's still
to win 10
it's
and
still doable. No question.
We have a barge in there that, you know, that we shouldn't panic it.
Will, thank you for the phone call. Okay, so after week one, let's have some fun.
Okay.
Or not. So after week one, Atlanta's coming in. I'm on the fence with this game. I think the Giants very well could win. I think, unfortunately, the Giants could lose. I'm on the fence with that one. Washington, I feel pretty good that the Giants are going to win that game at home.
Okay, but look at it. How many three games in how many days?
Yeah.
14.
Yeah, because that's a Thursday night game.
Thursday night game.
But it's
I know
home.
It's home, but that's still
it's more.
Is
it's a lot more difficult for the road team.
Three games in that many days is tough.
With a John Beeson and a Victor Cruz who's
with
not
injuries.
Even practicing right now.
At Buffalo, it's a tough game. It's always tough to play at Buffalo, let alone with this defense.
Yeah, which, by the way, I think they beat the Patriots this week. Call me crazy.
Here we go.
I called the win against the Colts. San Francisco, you know what? They really impressed me the other night. I mean, all those players, David, they retire.
Yeah.
And then it's like this no-name defense. I mean, Bavaro, of course. But, you know, you just it's amazing to me how many guys they lost and still came out and, like, punched the Minnesota Vikings in the face.
They most certainly did, and they played faster. They played more physical, and they wanted that game more than Minnesota. It was clear right after the first quarter.
So, you know, now I'm on the fence with that game. At Philadelphia, Philadelphia didn't look as good to me as I thought they would.
It's always a tough place to play at Philly.
The link. Dallas, New Orleans, Tampa, not so concerned
at,
about.
At New Orleans, the Terror Dome, that is a place in my NFL career I've never won.
Really? You've never won?
Never won.
At the Superdome?
Mm-mm. That's what I said, the Terror Dome.
Too much time in the Big Easy, man.
Oh, no, that wasn't it.
I lived in New Orleans for 3 years.
We never played well against the Saints on that at New Orleans.
New England, you know what time it is there. Yep, the bye at Washington, the Jets. You know, chances are they lost Antonio Cromartie this week. Not just one, but apparently reports are that a number of ligaments are torn in his knee. So going in, I really thought this Jets defense would be like a top three in the NFL, but without Crow.
Yep. Very tough.
Yeah. At Miami, they didn't look so hot in week one against Washington.
No.
They won, but it took them some time. They really didn't turn it on until the fourth quarter. Carolina, just no one to pass the ball to for Cammy Cam. Minnesota, they didn't look as good as I thought they would.
But at that time, is Adrian Peterson going to be rolling?
Right. And then, of course, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia at home.
Anyway, all right, let's continue with our calls. We go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Joe, you there?
Yes, hello there, David and Nia. David, I want to ask you first here. You think this is more of a mental game to get over this week than a physical, you know, physical and a mental loss, I think. And I think this was more of a mental loss and getting psyched and get back on the road again to victory, wouldn't you think?
I agree with you. In a game where you created three turnovers and you don't turn the ball over, you get 17 points off of those turnovers and you don't win the game. Yeah, that's definitely one mentally that hangs on you, especially with the way that the game played out. So it's back to regrouping, getting back to work, and focusing on the Atlanta Falcons, because there is nothing you can do to change the outcome of the Dallas game. The only thing you can do is learn from it and move forward and use it as motivation this upcoming week, because this was a game where everybody gave the Giants no chance. Defense obviously has some things in the last drive that they've got to correct with the prevent defense, but you got to give them credit for the way they fought throughout the game and the way they played physical. Now, offensively, it's all about consistency. It's been the whole thing throughout the preseason, too many ups and downs, especially in drives that start to become successful. One negative play is what changes everything. So I agree with you. This is a huge mental one, more than physical, to get over.
How do you do it, though? Colin Jenkins came out and said that, hands down, this had to be the most difficult loss that he's ever experienced in his professional career. How do you, you know, wake up the next morning, get out of bed, and put that behind you and look forward to the next game? How do you do that, David?
Because you know it's a long season, that you have 15 left. That, number one, if you're in that situation ever again, you know that you're going to learn from it. It's never going to take place. But more importantly, I think it's all about going out and fighting together, and this team coming together as a football team, not only by just what happened on the field, but by experience as well. This was the first time that all of these players for the New York Giants have been playing together, all cohesively, starting at the same time with all the different things that happened throughout the preseason. So now is the time for them to gel together as a team, but also as units, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers. This is a time where the leaders in those rooms have to make sure that you bring the young guys up to speed and that everybody is making the progress at the same time, that there's nothing left from the game before that you haven't corrected, and that all the young guys who have sitting back that may not have gotten experience, that they learn from this as well, because down the stretch, there's going to be injuries. There are going to be things that take place where a team has to face adversity, and those young guys are the ones that have to step up, and this team cannot have any drop-off.
Let's go to James in line two.
Who?
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Did we?
Okay. We had a little beat, a little piece of him, buddy.
Do we have James on line two?
Hi.
Hi, James.
All right, we got
Welcome
James. There he is.
Live.
Hi, David.
Yes, James.
Geez, it's really great that I get an opportunity to say hello to you. Big fan of yours.
Thank you very much, James.
And you know, believe it or not, I'm a big fan of yours too. I mean, you've said some stuff that during the shows that I really respect, and it's kind of like going the extra mile sometimes. You just kind of cross the line. Nah, I don't want to say cross the line, but you're not afraid.
You tiptoed the line. How about that one?
I really appreciate that. But moving forward, I just wanted to tell you that before the game, what was more important to me than anything else was how the Giants represented themselves in the game. Win or lose, and it's important to win, obviously, but it was how they played was really important to me. Disappointment, was disappointed just like everybody else. But if I told you or any Giants fan that game, they're not going to touch Tony Romo. They're not going to make him feel would really any of us believe that we were going to win that game? Well, I got to tell you, we didn't touch him, and we didn't make him uncomfortable. And yeah, we need more pressure on the passer or a different scheme, whatever. But we can do that. You know, these are things that we can do. I mean, what I saw out there, I saw hunger, I saw spirit, fearless desire, and I saw players out there that can play. They played as a team, and they did everything that I think could be expected of them in the first game of the season. You know, with all the diversity and everything that's come upon the team, I think they represented themselves very, very well.
Well, thank
regarding
you.
The prevent defense, the prevent defense I believe can work, but you got to change players to do that, and we weren't prepared. We weren't prepared for a prevent defense. Running back Williams, I really don't know where he was in this game. I don't think he got a lot of carries. Maybe he just, didn't fit into that scheme for against the Cowboys. I don't know what that was, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of him. The offensive line, and David, you'll probably like this. I was surprised, and I thought they did well. So I'm not complaining the offensive line anymore until they show me that, just break down. But I think they held up. I think they did good. They gave us opportunities. And I think they can only get better. As far as Beeson is concerned, sorry.
You're rolling, my man. Let it out. Let it out.
I mean, I'm sitting here taking notes.
Let it out.
So.
Huh?
We're saying let it out. We're taking notes over here. You're talking shop.
Okay. Well, I just want to make a comment about Beeson. I think he's a great player. Carolina, he was a great player there. Here, he's an injured player. That's what he brings to the table. I think that Unga needs to put him in there as a starter and let Beeson play because he has value. But Unga needs the experience, and he needs that in the beginning of the year, not at the end. I guess that's all I got to say, but it's been a real pleasure to be on the show, and I love the show. Thanks a lot, guys, and I'll take your responses off the air.
You got it. Wow. So a lot to respond to, so I wrote it all down. First and foremost, in regard to what you saw from the players.
They fought. They fought. And that's one of the things that you take the positives out of this. It's easy for everybody to point at the negative, especially when you lose a game, and that's what you do a lot of times as a player. It's hard when you go through a game to look at the positive things when you go through a tough game, you get into the fourth quarter, and you don't come up with it. But you're right. You saw players fighting. You saw them fighting to the whistle. You saw them sticking up for one another, and you saw them do it for an extended period of time. Like I said, it's unfortunate they weren't able to close the game. But this is the step that they needed to take in the right direction and do it physically, which they did.
We talked about prevent defense a little bit earlier. Andre Williams, your thoughts on what you saw or did not see from him in week one?
You know, the thing that he has to do is he's got to be more consistent with his vision and where he hits holes. That was the one thing that last year he left a lot of yards on the field by, getting wrapped up, getting his eyes down in his head and running in, number one, running into the back of offensive linemen, but two, missing that hole because it's a split-second decision. It's a lot different from college where that thing will hold up. In the pros, you got to hit it now because it's going to close, and you're going to more than likely run through arm tackles each and every time. So his consistency with his vision, and the other thing is blitz pickup is the other thing that he really needs to step up in.
What about the offensive line? If you had to give them a grade in week one in regard to A, pass protection, B, in running the football, what would the grades be?
See, it would be hard to sit there to give a grade because of the consistency. Once again, this is a group that came together. They fought. I felt that Newhouse played better than expected. I think Schwartz is who struggled more than any of the other offensive linemen. And I expected that because he didn't barely played the entire preseason. They brought John Jerry in a little bit, but that's going to have to be figured out here so that whoever is playing together on the right side of the offensive line, they gel together. They cannot have where it's in and out and there's a rotation of guys. We talked about this last week. I'm not a believer in a rotation on the offensive line. It hasn't really worked out anywhere I've ever been or I've seen it take place because you have to have all five guys on the same page, and they have to have the same proper footwork next to each other in order to be successful.
And last but not least, in regard to John Beeson. John Beeson's healthy. He has to be your middle linebacker.
Yes.
No disrespect to Unga, but I think this time and this experience for Unga is great, but if John Beeson is healthy and he can go and that knee could hold up, I think John Beeson has to be your middle linebacker.
I agree.
So, all right, some final thoughts before we do sign off in regard to looking ahead to the Atlanta Falcons. Give us like maybe two or three keys to the game that you feel absolutely need to happen on Sunday.
Contain Matt Ryan in the pocket. Can't let him get extra yards with his feet because he's more athletic than what people think. And like I said, in this new offense in Kyle Shanahan, they're going to have him throwing on the move and out of the pocket because they want to have that play-action game running in full rev. So you're going to have to make sure the backside defensive end does a good job of containing, keeping things from the outside in. Both defensive ends, same thing in the run game. They've got to make sure that they set the edge and don't get reached so that everything doesn't get bounced outside. They've got to force things inside. And the biggest thing, they have got to do something to disrupt Matt Ryan on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, both offensive tackles and the tight ends have got to do a better job at the point of attack, staying square, just like on the opposite side, so that they don't get twisted and turned where everything's fought back inside. This is going to be a huge matchup for Ereck Flowers. We saw him against Randy Gregory, another rookie. Vic Beasley looks absolutely explosive. And he had penetration and he had pressure against Jason Peters, who was an all-pro offensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's going to have his hands full. And then we talked about it, the wide receivers. They're going to have to make sure that they don't have drops and have catches and use Odell Beckham Jr. in more spots to get him out in space and use his athletic ability.
Really quick before we do sign off, two pieces of information coming out of the Twitter feed for Orlando Ledbetter. Number one is, and I'm sure you heard this, that Atlanta Falcons signed Jake Long.
Yes, I did.
So apparently he's listed third behind Jake Matthews and Tyler Palumbus.
Yeah.
Palumbus.
Notre Dame. He used to be on Washington.
So just FYI. And also Julio Jones was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week today.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah, really unbelievable performance against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, anyway, and a reminder, would you like to maybe have the honors?
And remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick up your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today.
So players are practicing right now. They'll be made available to the media around 1:50 this afternoon. We'll be in the locker room. We'll be interviewing them. Those interviews will be up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. Make sure you tune in. Also tomorrow, I want to say it's Paul Dottino and Jeff Howard Cross.
Okay.
So it's Paul Dottino and Howard Cross hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live. And, of course, we'll be taping First and 10, which is always fun. And so what do you have coming on? What are you doing the rest of the week?
I actually am going to be in Washington, D.C. I have the call for the St. Louis Rams at Washington Redskins.
Ooh, that should be an interesting
one. Yes, it should.
All right. So enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live, and stay tuned to Giants.com for all your Giants information as they get ready for week two against the Atlanta Falcons. Have a great day, everybody.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.